Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. And today, it's actually the 100th show. I didn't think it would go this far, but it is. And it's all about getting the information out there and from the horse's mouth, so to speak, in terms of what we're venting or trying to get out there. First of all, I'd like to introduce my beautiful partner, Sol Rita, who's on the show today with us. And we've also got the beautiful Mary Rodwell. Mary, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, I love being called beautiful. Thanks. If you're very biased.
And Barry Littleton. Barry, thanks heaps for coming on the show, mate.
Salutations. I'm very honored. Very honored. Hello, Mary. Hello, Sol.
Hi.
Now, like I say, we sort of just go wherever the flow of this goes. It's great to sort of do like a four-way panel here. Now, recently, I've been speaking to both of you separately, and we've been talking about how there's been lots of stuff going on, and I've been talking to others behind the scenes. There seems to be, especially over the last month or two, there's been almost an upgrade or an uplift in terms of what we're all experiencing in terms of cleaning baggage, but also there seems to be a lot more sightings, a lot more sort of download stuff going on. Mary, can we sort of get your perspective at the moment in terms of what you're hearing? Because you get emails all the time from experiences, from people who are just awakening and they're going to you because they've seen the documentaries and whatnot you've done. So you get a hell of a lot of emails. Have you seen sort of a clump of emails in the last month or two of just as if something's been upgraded in terms of the intensity, I guess, of the experiences?
The way I look at it, Peter, is really about an acceleration, it seems, for people that are having experiences that they are saying to me so much more is going on than they recall even 6 months ago. Heightened senses, energy shifts, frequencies they feel like, you know, their body will resonate to these frequencies. They will often feel quite tired and need to sleep a lot more. And with that seems to be a lot more of the downloads, the sense of just generally being prepared, almost like there's something ahead in the not too distant future that they need to be ready for. Even a sense of anticipation, which is really interesting because we know, you know, often what goes with these shifts can sometimes be, you know, a lot of shifts on the planet itself. But there isn't the sense that I'm getting from them that this is something necessarily to be fearful of, but more a sense of it has to happen and it's this anticipation. But with it, this sense of, you know, get your stuff together, guys, get ready, there's something going on. And this is happening from emails that I get, as you well know, Pete, from all over the globe. And this can be as far afield as Kenya, Uruguay, you know, India. You know, how on earth they find me when they don't even speak the language to me is amazing. But they're saying the same things. And sightings off the charts, people videotaping and being called out almost to videotape. And some of, you know, some of the sightings now and the video footage is brilliant. You get it. Damien Knott gets it, for example. Amazing gentleman in the Netherlands has sent me some incredible footage, you know. So it's very compelling in terms of, you know, the tangibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I don't know whether Barry's been feeling he's been given a little bit of a shove in that kind of direction.
Barry, would you like to give us sort of your take on what you've experienced lately, if there's been an intensity or not in terms of what you personally you're experiencing too?
I'd agree with that. I'd say there's been a lot of people coming forward right now, and that's concerning, especially with the younger people, I think. And it's something's definitely happening. And I think maybe we'll get into a little bit later about some of the cycles I've been hearing about. I was recently listening to, I believe it was Dolores Cannon's Quantum Healing, I believe, and she talks about the waves of souls that are coming to Earth right now. And I think we can take that two ways, which is one, the waves that come out of Source, all right, the souls that are emitted from Source first. And then secondly, what I can remember myself here, which is a cycle of seers, we could say, cycles of we could call light workers, warriors. There's all sorts of different names, but it has to do with the souls that are incarnating right now in this cycle. And I think that's part of the shift that we're talking about. And the urgency, I think, is that I want to be positive, but humanity's close to annihilating itself. But there's so many of us right now that really are shining a light and doing good things that I think that's what's coming to the full forefront right now.
You're talking just then how, and we've spoken recently, how there's been lots of young people contact you, Barry. And Mary's got a lot of the young ones. And I do myself. So it's funny that Mary's had it for years, but both you and me, Barry, we're getting the young ones coming to us now. They see something. So it's sort of uprising more. The young ones are, you know, people might talk about the younger generation, like my generation, like I'm a bit over 30 now, not so young, but then I tell them, go and talk to these young kids because you think I might be in tune or whatnot. These kids make everything just seem so mundane when you talk to them about their intelligence, how in tune they are, how psychic they are. Like you say, Mary, they know what the teachers are thinking and the parents are thinking and all that. So this is where there's a totally different ball game being introduced to the human environment now in terms of souls that are here. It's they're a lot more in tune, I guess.
Can I, Mary, maybe you could speak on this actually. What I'm noticing is that when I was a little younger, like 20 something on like that, or in my late teens, I used to detect some of these, what we call star seeds now or indigo children. And I was a very strong telepath. So I would sometimes kind of send them a message and they would turn around and look at you like, who are you to think to me? But they were kids then, but these people that are coming to me now are around the age of 30, 31, 23 to 32, I'd say. And they're the same star seeds that from that age group, but they're becoming adults now and they're having children that are having experiences and they're all reaching out. That's kind of what I'm seeing.
And it's part of what I'm seeing as the programs of these new children. And I know that Pete knows that what we are doing with these programs that the consensus is that there's something wrong with a lot of these children because they have such diagnoses as ADD or ADHD or Asperger's or dyslexia or some types of autism. But my research is suggesting that rather than being dysfunctional, they are just more multidimensional in their awareness. And we need to understand this multidimensionality of these children. When children, you know, it was quite interesting to me. Only recently, I was talking to a gentleman, and his son wanted to speak to me, who's only 9. And this is not usual that a child says, you know, I want to speak to this strange lady over Skype who I've never met before. And so when I spoke to this young man, he's only 9, and he said, and I said, why did you feel you could speak to me? And he said, it's because of your frequency. Now, what child of 9 talks about connecting with someone because of their frequency? Well, these star seeds do. These star children, the new humans, do. Because they operate on frequency. They also have this ability to know what's true and what's not true. They have the ability, as you, Barry, and many others of your generations too, that knew they were empaths, they were telepathic. And this has come through with a lot of the autistic children that even science is understanding now that many of them appear to be telepathic. Well, we know they are, and that they're tapping into emotions, they're tapping into thoughts. I had an email only recently of a lady who's speaking about her 3-year-old child, and she said, the difficulty, Mary, is that my 3-year-old reads my mind all the time and others around me. And she said, have you realized how hard it is to keep your thinking pure and with integrity all the time, that you can't think negative thoughts because you'll know your child is going to pick it up? Mm. Well, I tell you what, it's forcing us, whether we like it or not, to come from a place of love and integrity, because these kids can see your emotions. They know when you like them or dislike them. They'll know when you're angry with them. And it's not by what you say, it's what you're thinking. So this is really challenging us as a species now, not only to grow up, but also be very aware of the place that we're coming from, which is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, about time.
No, definitely. What about yourself? Have you noticed, like with the kids, like we've got 3 beautiful young kids here, Soul's kids, Have you had much sort of go on with young ones in terms of talking to not just your kids but other kids, like knowing how, you know, these different waves coming through, like Barry's talking about?
Well, I noticed the difference for a start. The kids are in a Steiner school, which is, you know, it's an alternative to mainstream over here in Australia and in a few countries across the world. But I do notice that kids that do seem to be in the more alternative schools, you know, they have the larger sort of, you know, hybridized looking eyes. And there's a different energy about them. You just don't get the same sort of feel that you do, you know, amongst the everyday kids. But I have even noticed, having worked with kids in primary schools in the past when I was a lot younger, just watching like each generation come out of the kids, you can see more and more star seeds, you know, in the classrooms where, you know, when we were younger, it might have been maybe, you know, one or two. And it's funny because I've actually reconnected with a high school friend who was a star seed too. But, and you could tell at the time there was something different about them. But there's definitely a sense of the like telepathy, empathy, and that's something I resonated with growing up too. And I remember saying to Mum, you know, I was watching Play School on TV thinking that they could read my mind and they could see me through the TV and things like that, and going to shopping centres and, you know, feeling everyone's emotions and things like that. And I can see that with my own kids too, especially with my oldest, who'll be 15 later this year. You know, she was very telepathic when she was young. She could say exactly what you were thinking, whether it was someone she might have met when she was 6 months old and hadn't seen for 2 years. Just their memory as well is quite amazing.
What about the young boy? Do you want to tell him what happened the other day with the young boy talking about the field with the moon is the same as the crafts that showing you?
You say, because he was telling you.
Yeah, well, Sol's youngest, he's six, he's a boy, and he was telling me how the moon, how it's doing what it's doing and how it's the craft, basically, is using the same mechanisms or technology as the crafts. That I was showing him. I've got this UFO that, like, it's a toy, but it runs off an electromagnetic field. You spin it, and it goes up and hovers on a plate. And I was showing him, like, different types of stuff, like, because he just got intrigued by it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, that uses the same stuff as how the moon works, how the moon's a craft, and it does what it does. And there's been times we've sort of caught him, or not caught him out, but asked him, and he's talking about how he sees people on the moon and what they're like and what the moon's like, and
talks a lot about
this. And it's only been recently have I talked to him about this sort of stuff, because I don't want to lead him on, but we're having a two-way conversation. So this is where I've let my guard down now, going, you know, he's definitely, you know, he's guiding us.
He's quite manted too.
He's very manted. He walks around and because I got him to do the manted type thing. So he walks around and you can tell he's manted all over. And it's just been very interesting now being able to have a two-way conversation instead of in the beginning, like Mary, you've got it, a lot of people coming to you, you know, parents will say this and that. I'm like, hang on, how do you know there's not something coming out of his cupboard, this or that, you know, because they think they're nuts. And it's like, well, for a while I wanted to sit back, and I know that, you know, to me, imagination is creation, but I've stood back enough now where I can go, all right, he's definitely got this going on, and I can't lead on anymore.
But
I've been responsible, I think, in my way of dealing with him, because he is very, I think he's very advanced. Anything electronic, he bloody pulls out and pulls apart and puts together.
He's like your youngest grandson.
Yeah.
But he wakes up a lot. When I'm having, you know, experiences, if I'm going on a craft or something like that, he's usually been there with me, and he wakes up just after I get dropped back.
And then comes in, and I'm starting to realise now that he's just being visited when that's going on. So
yeah,
that's been a very interesting part. Just getting back to the intensity of things, we didn't get your... What do you think's going on? Have you you've noticed an intensity with everything going
I've
on?
I've noticed like a few patterns. So with the start of the blood moon kind of phase, I felt like it was all about relationships, and they're trying to get like all of the twin flames and soulmates together. And then it's going through sort of cleaning out on different levels. So we've got like the physical, you know, sickness side of things, expelling anything that's not supposed to be there. And then we've also got like expelling of old emotions and, you know, programs and contracts and things that no longer serve us. I feel like we've sort of been through the gamut of all of that stuff. But it's also speaking up for yourself with things at the moment as well, and also like redefining like what you want as an individual and what your purpose is. I feel like it's been, you know, we've been gathering the support of all the soul families and that, and now it's about coming back and remembering our own individual purpose. That's sort of like the information I've been getting lately.
So, yeah, and I think it's been very similar for everyone. We see all this catching up, like, Mary, you and I have been speaking for over a year now about how everyone's sort of connecting up, and it just seems to be happening more and more.
There is that intensity or that sense of, you know, that something is around the corner, you know, like next 6 months or something like that. It feels like it's really, you know, getting a lot closer now.
Definitely, definitely. One thing I wouldn't mind addressing at the moment is I got an email from you, Mary, I think maybe a day or two ago, and I've just thought about it just then, which I was wanting to talk to you about it. The email has something to do with MyLab and experiences. So basically, the MyLab's being able to pick up on the star seeds and maybe manipulate their information in which they disseminate or get out into the public. I personally think that's very possible, and I think it is happening. I've talked about this with Giles, how I think some of the information that comes through, it can get tapped and altered sometimes because they can't stop the inflow of download, but it's almost they can screw the data, how it comes through when it's being downloaded. Mary, have you sort of come to a similar conclusion or a similar thought on this?
I think that whether or not it's my lab affecting the information that we're getting from our, what I call our own, you know, non-physical team, as it were, whether you see them as guardian angels, spirit guides, higher self, super conscious or whatever, I think we still have a responsibility to see if that information resonates from the highest level. And usually, for me, you know, we're all antennas, we're all satellites, and what we put out is what we get back. So if we're putting out confusion, or if we're putting out fear, or we're buying into the fear program that's on this planet, then that will be part of that confusion. And those are the kinds of things that we will pull back to ourselves. So it's about, again, the more that we are in touch with that higher frequency of who we really are, that, you know, that super conscious higher self, the more we will bring in the integrity of the message. Then, you know, it's like what you give out, you get back.
Yeah.
I know that's very simplistic.
No, but I don't think it is. Like, it is, and I think it should be. And like, we've had James Gilliland on the show, and I reference him a lot because I so resonate with him. And it's like he says, the mind you seek is the mind that you'll connect with. So if you're in line with whatever you're wanting to connect with, there's going to be that. And people ask me, how do you know if you're not being led on this and that? And like I say to a lot of people, easy. It's the fruit that comes from the knowledge and the experience. Barry, what's your take? Because I don't think it's just my lab. I think there are things of an archonic type nature, which is another facet of us as a collective. And like you've said, Mary, before, and I've used the analogy a lot of times, these things are like a parasitic, you know, if they're like a parasite on a trunk of a tree, the only thing they know to do to exist is take the energy from that. And that's not wrong. It's what it knows. It's what it's got to do to survive. So I think, you know, there's many ways we can look at this. But in saying that, I don't think it's just my lab that can manipulate. I think there's other entities, archons and whatnot can do it. But again, it's up to us. And I think there's got to be some self-responsibility in here because like I've talked to you, Mary, I want to know if what I'm being spilt or shown is for real. And I test the buggers because I have to. My life has been changed in every single friggin' way that I have the right to test these buggers at certain times because I'm down here doing what I'm doing. So, Barry, what's your sort of spin on this?
Well, I'll say this much. You know, when I first, as a very young age, when I started getting visits from, we'll call them inorganic beings, whether they were spirits or extraterrestrial, the first thing I would ask is, who in the hell are you? What do you want? And I would be insistent on that. And I would ask that even though every entity that I dealt with, the love precluded them. I mean, before they got there, the love hit me first. Mm-hmm. And then they would tell me certain things. I mean, there was no deception there, all right? In that way, my experiences were very positive, all right? But I almost hampered them to some degree because after I knew who they were, they told me the love and everything, I still kept asking, almost interrogating them. And I think that's, you know, almost rude to a certain degree, offensive to any light being, any being of love. They come to help and he's still interrogating us for who we are. And
that's normal in the body computer, wouldn't you say? Like, sorry to cut you off, but like, I think you have a right to do that. Because I know that on the other side, they're laughing going, this bugger's got no clue that we work with him at the moment. You know what I mean? Or if there is that connection. And they understand that, I think. It's because we are brought with some type of amnesia to this realm, unless it's like a programming type thing going on, and then you sort of reconnect. So I think they would understand that.
Yeah, well, you know, the first spirit that I encountered at a very young age, about the age of 6, attacked me. And that was a disincarnate person. And once I experienced that, I tried to turn it off. Oh, I don't want to experience this anymore. You know, so when other beings would come, I would ask a lot. But, you know, what you're saying goes on into adult experiences for me, even going into my hypnotic regressions, all right? Because once I started understanding what really virtual reality scenario technology was, I wanted to know if I'd been exposed to it. And secondly, when I started reading things like Dr. Turner's work, I wanted to know, okay, have I been deceived in some way? Because I was missing time. And when I say that, I was missing a lot of time, almost 20 hours worth on different experiences put together. So that was, I wanted to know if I'd been, you know, the old Barney and Betty Hill. But anyway, that's where I come from. But I noticed something else. Right now, whatever's going on, there is a great, as Yoda would say, a great disturbance in the force. There are a lot of arcanic forces coming against people that are trying to speak the truth, people like us that are coming out. I mean, it's not always an exchange of information. It becomes more of an attack. I'm seeing that a lot. That's based on egotistical stuff. And that's, I think that's one of the ways that they're trying to come through right now, is what I'm seeing.
Definitely. And what's your take on all that too? Is that like, can you see how, or do you think information is manipulated when it's brought down through by other forces?
Yeah.
It can be?
Yeah, it can be. I see it as like a beam of light coming down, and then I see different frequencies of other coloured light coming in. So it's still got the true information encoded in that, but then you've got like, you know, little colours of deception coming in. So it's not, you have to kind of be able to put a block on that deception or to be able to weed it out to get the pure information. That's why it's always important to go with like the first thing that comes to mind.
On everything. Yeah. Definitely. Go on, Barry. Sorry, mate.
Oh, it'll be skipping around. You know, I do that sometimes. It's something I kind of wanted to touch on about the star kids that are coming up right now.
Well, I had 2222 on the screen, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, sometimes I use things for a frame of reference. When I was younger, there was a show that came out from England. It was called The Tomorrow People. And what the Tomorrow People were considered was homo superior. What they were telepaths that could even use psychokinesis, various things, dematerialize, various things. But I think to some degree, that's what we're seeing right now. Because what the Tomorrow People would go through was an awakening process, which is where their telepathic abilities would just get so strong and almost drove them insane. Then after that, they would be like almost, let's say, a more advanced type of human. But the thing was, the more of them emerged, our whole species was turning into Tomorrow People. That show even got revived about 4 or 5 years ago, I do believe. But I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now with the young people, what's going on right now.
Mary, just a question to you now. You've talked to a lot of these people that are government whistleblowers that have wrote fantastic books. A lot of these people can, you know, find documents in the archives and they've got to support some of what they're saying, or they've personally been in these projects. Have you spoken to anyone in these projects or in the government per se, or in any of these organisations that have said anything to you about the waves of kids coming through now, or anything sort of on that in terms of like the government know what's going on? Not the government per se, I'd say the force behind them, but like as if these projects are interested in some of these kids or even experiences in general.
It's a good question. My first time I came across someone who'd been in American intelligence was a gentleman that had been over here for a short while. And he came to one of these earlier conferences that I did in about 2000, 2001, I think it was, in Campbelltown. And actually, I ended up doing an interview with him. I, at the time, had no idea really who he was. I was still very much a novice with a lot of the whistleblower material. And his name is John Maynard. And John worked, as I say, in American intelligence. And he came up to me after my presentation on the Star Children, and he said to me, it was very, very blunt. He said, "You're absolutely spot on with these new children. You are absolutely correct." I remember thinking at the time, well, who is this guy who's telling me that I'm absolutely correct? Because I had no idea who he was or how he would have any insight into this. When I did the interview with him afterwards, which was a very sort of casual interview, but he spoke about the fact that not only was part of his job to create disinformation in terms of intimidate people who'd had experiences, he also was very aware that they were looking and looked for these children. Since then, of course, my research has highlighted in many ways many individuals that have been part of these MyLab programs as children. And one of them lives in Sydney, and this gentleman describes being taught things when he was 7 or 8 in installations above in big cities, under big cities, where they're taught to use these abilities. One of them is learning to walk through solid objects, for example. And we also know that other governments are interested in these children, because there's a book by Paul Dong called China Super Psychics. And in this book, he mentions these children that the Chinese are obviously researching and using, and these children can move objects with their mind. They've even been known and filmed to change the very nature of DNA in a petri dish, amongst many other abilities. And these children now appear to be all over the world. There's the ones in Mexico that seem to be able to read blindfolded, and can actually read with various parts of their bodies. Many, we're talking about not just hundreds here. And I've seen a young girl do this, a teenage girl, literally blindfolded, where they put a newspaper under her feet and she read the headlines through her shoes. I've seen video of Indian children doing similar things, which was on a kind of psychic show. They're not seeing them as connected to Star Children. They're just connected to psychic children. But actually, they're all one and the same. I believe the reason that they are what they are is because they are the upgrades that are being assisted by various intelligences that are connected to us from various parts of our galactic family. And the evidence is that we have at least 12 species that are intimately connected to us in our DNA. So they're all part of this mandate to upgrade humanity, is the information there. So yes, they've known about these kids right from the 1970s. JJ Hertak also knew about them. There was a lot to do with Uri Geller in the 70s, where they knew about them, but there was a great deal of cover-up around, denying this as part of this big picture. And it's all started to explode now, because since that generation, there's been many generations of upgrade, which has led us to these new programs that we are seeing as dysfunctional, only because they don't want you to understand that these kids have so much more awareness than the what I would call the old models, which I would put myself in as one of the older models, if you like, or whatever. So that's a long answer to a very important part of this. Yes, they know about these kids. They look for their energy signatures. They are looking for these genius kids and these aware kids. And if they can, this is part of their programs too. They will try to influence these children in different ways, or dumb them down with things like Ritalin, for example.
Barry, you haven't had you hadn't had any military stuff happen until you spoke to me, did you? I don't, because your experience has mainly been of a positive nature, so there hasn't sort of been a connection with MyLab or anything going back to the younger years for yourself.
Well, let me tell you, I've come to question that to some degree, okay? Yep. And I say that because I was one of those people, and I think Soul is included in this, that remembers waking up sometimes at night in what we'd call a mystery school. Yeah. And in this mystery school, what I would be doing is things that are with my mind, normally telekinetic things, like moving feathers, messing with water, things that were all done with your mind, okay? And the telepathy was done, and I could never see the teachers, all right? At first, I would be by myself. Then suddenly, I was in being taken to other rooms where there were other students there, all right? And they would want me to do these things with the students, and I started smarting off. I said, well, why? There's no point. When I go to school, my other school, I can't do any of this. In the other school, I can't do any of this, so what's the point of doing it here? And I think I became resistant and not invited back. But anyway, point being, I think that there were people I remember coming by and testing me at school sometimes that had no reason to really be there.
This earthly 3D school.
I had the same.
Yeah, right, in a grade school, yeah. You know, and you're not going to tell anybody, well, I might have said something. I think I'm going to another school, too, at night. I'm waking up not in my house or something like that. So I think that they do have a way to detecting us, and I don't know. I don't know.
Have you seen a connection, or you had a connection with military talk? Like, I know that your grandpa on your family side, he was a Marine as well, and there's some sort of super soldier stuff that you...
Yeah.
And so I can remember going back and from Mars and all this sort of stuff, and lots of people from these programs talk, you know, say that I've been part of it, and I've got some weird stuff going on, but I haven't got much recollection. But what about yourself?
Even just in this house that we're in now, we've woken up with military-type stuff having happened once or twice. But, yeah, going back, like you say, like remembering, you know, like the other schools and things like that, I remember more being taught, like, you know, waking up or being young, sort of like 4 to 6 and going, how come it's not working? Like, you know, trying to do like telepathy here and levitation and things like that, just going, I know how to do it. And it literally drove me crazy for like 10 years. And then I just thought, well, it's going to be a magic power that turns on when I'm like 13 or, you know, when I'm 16, thinking that there was some kind of magic number to it that I had to wait for. But yeah, it was funny. It wasn't until probably 21 that I met other kids that were, you know, kind of similar and could speak star language and things like that. Up until then, it was sort of just, you know, going through school, kind of keeping it to myself, being told by the beings, you know, that I'll get locked up in a crazy home, you know, if I talk about this sort of stuff. It was always sort of, you know, to keep it kind of secret or under wraps.
See, Barry, like what you experienced after first talking to me with that dude, with that electrical device, I think it was on a bridge, wasn't he, or something. That sort of stuff I've experienced a lot of, and I do have recall. I don't know how far going back, but I've seen the marks in one of my docos. You can see it. They're the same marks in the same area each side of my body, like these big scars. Yeah, and they've also...
You can feel them too, like yeah, the rays.
And they're actually on the same spot on each ankle. So, like, they've pinned me down. And I can remember times of having these... they're like night vision green glasses, but I'll be in, like, a lab... And it'll be like these bars, like batteries and download bars. I don't know what that was about, but there's been other examples as well. But it's been later years, which goes into this type of thing I want to ask you all. Talking to people like Brad Thornton, who Mary knows well, and I've had a lot of times on the show, and even with myself, what I've come to surmise, and people like Niara Easley, who you also know, Mary, it's almost, from my understanding, I believe everything's agreed upon, even if we think it's not on some level, because we're talking about a high, high level when where this is all agreed upon. You could go to different levels of yourself, and you go to the highest level, the all-knowing part. There's always this scenario of, yes, you've agreed to it, from my experience, and this is my truth, and I can understand if others don't have a similar view, but it's almost like, all right, you're going to be a double spy. You're going to come down here, you're going to experience this in these facilities, and it's basically going to report back to us, and people will go, now, why would they do that? And it's like, because some of these facilities and some of these military-type organisations, they are using ET technology, so therefore they can block out ETs doing surveillance in the way that they normally could, because it's not the same level of technology, but very similar. Mary, have you come across this double agent spy sort of scenario where you're going into these military camps or whatever, but yet you're doing it reporting back to your star family?
Well, Niara Isley, I wrote the foreword for her book, and I, you know, her story is incredible, you know, and in it she realizes she worked in radar. Anyway, so she was in the military and they actually abducted her, you know, her own countrymen abducted her, and she was abused, she was drugged. They were obviously trying to get as much information out of her, interactions with her own star family, et cetera, et cetera. And what was fascinating was that when she finally realized this, which she said, no one's going to ever believe anyway, that, you know, it's one thing saying you're abducted by aliens. It's another to say by your own countrymen, who's going to believe that? It was bodywork that woke her up to the fact that she'd had these experiences, including being taken to a base on the moon, which for a lot of people still is very hard to understand, that it's very likely our military are there too. But that's another story. But what she then realized in accessing her star family was that she'd come in with an agreement to actually expose this side of human barbarity to one another, man's inhumanity to man. And so with that agreement was part of her then came the acceptance that this, painful as it was and as challenging as it was, that, you know, this was part of that agreement. And also an agreement that once she'd done that, that this experience would no longer happen. And her understanding is that her star family have actually told the military, this is one of ours, you leave her alone now. So in other words, there seems to be, with some at least, that that can be stopped. Another lady that was a walk-in told me that she's come in as an undercover agent, and that she actually came into a three-year-old girl's body. She remembers coming in a cylindrical craft, 9 foot tall, pale-skinned, blonde-haired, telepathic, didn't have to absorb nutrients via the, light. And she said it was a big shock for her to suddenly be in a human three-year-old girl's body where she had to learn how to speak and learn that she had to eat. But she knew that she'd come in because she was to report on the status of what she was experiencing and what she understood about humanity, and knew there were others like her. But she only met, I think, one she described in China where they recognized one another. But she knew regularly that she went up back to her star family or a kind of council and debriefed and told them what she had been doing and what she understood. And this is not just obviously a few. It seems like different species that are working with this planet need to understand from as many levels as possible what is exactly going on. And Lee is another young star seed in her 20s that talks about her knowing many others like her that are doing the same thing, that there's this constant transfer of information from star seeds to their star family. And then you've got the 8-year-old saying that when he goes up on the craft, he goes into his mantid form sometimes, and because that's his family. And, for him, although it felt strange, this was something that he did, and it was part of his experience. So, that changes it all again is, what does it mean to be human? And, what are we as a species? In fact, when so many have this sense of dual consciousness, this connection to their star family, and yet they've also got a human life within all of that. So the complexity of it means that we must be very careful how we interpret what it is we're experiencing unless we tap into that inner knowing, which gives us a bigger picture, which is, I think, what we're being tasked to do on this planet.
Barry, you want to add to that?
No, I think that's very well said. Very well said. I am the only thing, that kind of concerns me is, as you know, as far as the super soldier thing we've talked about, that was kind of disturbed by that. That's not something
been one of the most hardcore things for me to even comprehend as well. And I've experienced it. So, I was in denial for so long, and I still am in a lot of things. So that shit's more tripped out than what I'm experiencing with other beings. And that's full on.
That goes back to that black goo crap even. That's something I didn't think of as much as I had heard about it, and especially the first season of the X-Files. The things that were released in the first season of the X-Files are very serious, and people don't realize the black goo was coming there all the time. That's always been in the background, and I didn't want to deal, Mary, I didn't want to deal with thinking about a trap for immortal souls like ourselves. We're out of our bodies. I didn't want to think about what kind of traps like that would be, and let alone that we could get trapped and put into a super soldier body if we're not careful. The things I'm hearing are horrific. But
this reminds me of just something quickly I wouldn't mind bringing up, and I'll just remember this out of the blue. Mary, after I was seeing you last, you sent me an email. I think it was a link to David Wilcox's site on the remember how we were talking about the energy grid trapping us from I think it even had the dark cube or something which you were going on about in the regression, the cube.
And Barry talks about it as well.
And we're telling you that and Sol was saying that Barry and myself have talked about this. Barry, would you mind sort of going into your opinion on these cube devices and also this energetic type grid where, you know, we've talked about, because I don't know, Mary, obviously you've heard about it, but you sent me that straight away after that. Barry, your take on the dark, not the dark, the light, different lights, you know, so one's like a light that you go to when you die and one traps you and one's the real light where it takes you. Just so we've got a little bit of a different topic going here and getting some different opinions on this. Because I think this is stuff that people need to know. Don't go into the fear mode, because what we should be doing is actually talking about this rather than going into a fear base, because we don't know what we don't know, like you say all the time, Eric. We just don't. And there's no use people promoting or going into this fear crap without any really valid response. And a lot of the times, if you go into this research and you go back to the source, it's usually somebody surmising or talking what they think rather than from personal experience, which I think is very important, because there's a lot of crap out there, but we need to go into what, you know, you, Barry, you and me have experienced this grid. Now, the black box thing, I haven't experienced, but Whitley Strieber talks about it. Sol talks about it. You talk about it. So this is where I think it's valid for a logical discussion on it, on a balanced sort of way.
I'm curious. Okay, I can do that. I'm curious. Mary, have you interacted with Dr. Linda Moulton Howe at all?
I know Linda. She's a colleague and friend, and I think very highly of her, actually.
Been following her since I was a kid. Love her work. Mm-hmm. She's the first person that I heard mention the black boxes in the way that she did, which mm-hmm. is hearing from other experiencers, okay? Concerning myself, all right, when I was younger, I once heard John Lear said, don't go, he was giving all these whistleblower secrets, but he said, don't go to the light. When you die, don't go to the light. It's a trick. It's a trick. I was very disturbed by that. He was giving all these.
Well, Art Bell was as well. And I'll just clarify this, because I've got an episode here where Art Bell first asks Whitley Strieber about that. Now, Whitley Strieber does say, I don't think I ever said that, but that doesn't mean I didn't say it. Because he goes, if John said it, I may have said it to him. But Whitley did also say that he did write something similar in a book. Now, with Whitley, you've got to keep in mind, some of these books are read between the lines because he doesn't want to put names or faces to actual things that have happened. But then again, some of it's sort of sci-fi type stuff, but he does say he read between the lines. So that deeply disturbed Art Bell. Because Art Bell's like, that stuff is playing on my mind. Because if I die, do I go to the light or don't I? You know, because you're being told not to. That's pretty eerie stuff to think about. So this is, I just wanted to clarify that for you, Barry, that's what John did say, and Whitley may have said it, but we still don't know exactly the source of that. But I think it's very valid to bring up, because other people have brought this up before.
Yeah, I heard it before, you know, but for me that was disturbing, because I had dealt with what we definitely would call light beings. And I kind of work with different types of light. So that was very disturbing for me, but I didn't understand the context and what he really meant. And when I say that, I think when we first get out of body and before we can completely maybe join with the Akashic Records or whatever happens to us, we first are impressioned by different light. And when I say that, we've got two different light, like the light of the sun, which is the light that is a living light, that brings a warmth, brings life with it. And then we've got the light of the moon, which is different. It's like a cold light, all right? And very few animals or creatures bloom like in the moonlight, all right? So in that way, we have a type of light that is projected through through this net. You want to talk about the net too, Peter?
Yeah, I'd like to. Okay, and I'd like people to take the fear base out of it too, because at the end of the day, from my experience, we're all one consciousness. You do not die. And there's been a lot of people who are like myself in this field irresponsibly, and I won't name these people, but some have been on the show, and they've driven fear into these people when they've gone to do guide-type sessions like I do. Now, I question that, because you should be empowering people to empower themselves and connect with their own higher self rather than looking to anybody else to be a guru or for the information. Now, I will say, I think everything is of a positive nature, even in the negative nature, because it has to exist in that way. And to that, what we perceive as positive may be negative to these things. So this is where, what reality are you coming at this from? But I think it's important to bring up the grid, because again, it gives some food for thought for people to talk about. I've had this shown to me through Shiji, this archonic type grid, which includes the moon, Saturn and a few other planetary bodies, which is ran now by an artificial intelligence that was created by the Anunnaki, Elohim, Archons, the opposite of what they once were, and it's the same type of beings, and so they can exist. So they're trying to recycle this energy so they can exist, but that's breaking down too. So not all this is negative. And once you get out of that positive negative frame of mind, and if you've experienced multi-dimensional reality, which you have, Barry, and I say we all in this conversation have, you understand that time is non-existent, and you understand how you can experience multiple realities at one time and how big and beautiful this reality really is. But I want you to go into this grid, Barry, because there are people doing the fear-mongering thing out there, but I just want people to be aware. It's like the Illuminati. I want people to know about it, but don't go and do 14 hours a day research just on that, and then all of a sudden you end up in a mental ward because everything's the Illuminati. You've got to have some balance here.
You know, gladly. And the thing, I think, if we could finish up with that at the end of it, it's some of the positive things in terms of protection and some of the things we can do to combat this. We're not just helpless, all right? And with what you just said, in that way, knowledge is power. We need knowledge so we know, have, and we can be aware. So it's even a little bit more than food for thought in that way. You know what I mean? It starts with Saturn, all right? And being vague, like when I was younger, these experiences I were having were so strong, but they were showing me things and I couldn't back up what they were showing. So I'd find books and things like that. And the first time it happened, they kept telling me something was wrong with Saturn. And I found this book called The Ringmakers of Saturn that said there are these huge ships out there about 500 miles in kilometers and yada, 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 yada. And they think that they're manufacturing the rings. Well, that's what my guides had told me too. All right. My understanding is, and you know, it's interesting how Saturn looks like a satellite to a certain degree. All right. My understanding is that somewhere around satellite, this scalar frequency, what Tesla would call a scalar frequency, is generated there. And it creates this net that goes over to Mars, the Cydonia region there, to the dark side of our moon. Okay. And then over to Earth, where we have certain ancient monolithic structures that still promote this scalar frequency also. Now, when I took that in contrast to what I was reading, like Paramahansa Yogananda and some of the gurus were saying about the moon, they were saying that we went to the moon, not just during our sleep cycle, but that we incarnated through the dark side of the moon, something they called the soul catcher. All right. And I started taking that and kind of combining that with what Richard Hoagland talked about, the shard back there and things like that. But nonetheless, and even in the regression that you did with Mary, that you posted or you gave to me the second one, you had made a comment about the moon being under.
Oh, that was the one with Lee. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, sorry.
But that's a very, very good point to bring up. And also John Lear had information that was a soul catcher on the moon also. So this is where we've got to, you know, still, we can't be concrete, but if you've got enough people saying very similar stuff, I think it's a room for consideration.
Mm-hmm. You know, my understanding is when we incarnate, we come through this net, we come through that soul catcher, and what it does is nullifies our natural psychic abilities and puts us asleep. And there's a certain reason, more than just we incarnated into the flesh for our experiences, that we are lacking soul memories. We're immortal souls, period. And yet we're missing soul life memories. That is a big problem. And it's not by accident. So my understanding is that net, when I had died after my accident, all right, I went under with, I had a near-death experience, but a lot of it also, if I was a psychologist, my degree, I would tell you was unconsciousness, all right? And when I come back, and to this day, I can only see flashes during the time I'm laying in that coma and during the time I died. So I'm not so convinced that I didn't hit that net and kind of come back enough to where I can't fully remember, you know, what I experienced on the other side. Does that make a sense there? Is that all? That's just net.
It's like an energetic net, yeah, like grid type thing. And look, again, like I say to a lot of people, like, to me, karma doesn't exist in the sense of choose what program you want. So this is where you can take into consideration what Barry, Mary, and myself are solo saying. But from my understanding in reality, it's what route you create your own reality. So if karma exists, you know, it exists because you think it exists. If it doesn't, well, it doesn't exist. And this is where everyone's got to take in this information how they want. What I'd like to ask everyone here, actually, is I've been coming across a lot of stuff lately, whether it was Kelly and the Raw, which actually, Barry, you're going to be on a show. Sol's been on it. Mary's been on Kelly's show. And I've come across some stuff from, I think it's Crow 777. And what this is the holographic moon theory. Now, from experience, I know that everything's like a quantum halo.
That sort of ties in like my version of what I see with the net too around the earth. So I see it more as like a holographic kind of like a hologram projector. So every now and then when I look at it, it's like the hologram light is sort of like blinking. And the more people that have awareness of the net or have awareness of like their higher version of themselves or of their free will, it's like the more that this hologram starts to blink and starts to kind of like break up a bit. So what I see it as, it's like you have the free will to go beyond that. But if you're sort of like nullified and come through at a certain level, your awareness is only going to be at such that whenever you perceive it, you know, when you do sort of start to cross over, you are going to see like this hologram, which may appear as like a false light, like you were saying. But it takes like consciousness outside of that or, you know, to tune into your own higher reality and perceive like the light beyond that, because, you know, that could be like the secondary light. That's sort of like the way I see it, is just like a holographic thing flashing on.
Can I actually expand on that from what you're saying, which I think makes a lot of sense? There are two things that make it difficult for me to accept that as the mandate. Not that I'm not saying that there is a possibility for certain frequencies to be held in that if you're in a fear frequency.
Yeah.
First of all my hundreds of regressions where people have gone into past lives and they've gone to the death sequence, and I deliberately take people to the death sequence so they can see that they actually exist after death, and they do. Yeah. They will talk about what they've learned in that lifetime. They'll talk about learning about compassion, learning, you know, whatever it is that they've undertaken to learn in that life. Then they talk about joining their soul families, their monads. And there's wonderful books out there, Dr. Michael Newton, Journey of Souls, where he's regressed hundreds of people to in-between lives, and there's no such sense of their soul being held in any kind of prison or anything else. I spoke to a 16-year-old young starseed, and the thing with that is many of them are coming in with their memories of their past lives. He remembers his life on Mars and other lifetimes. I'm talking to a 17-year-old that remembers that he comes from Arcturus, and he's bringing in his understanding from Arcturus because he's going to create ecological environments for this planet. The one from Mars told me that he can build interstellar craft, not because he's had it downloaded, but because that's what he used to build on Mars. So they're coming in with their memories, which nullifies this information. And also, the other thing, when I spoke about this to the 16-year-old, he said, Mary, what you believe is what you create. So if you choose to believe that you're going to be hampered as soon as you go through whatever it is,
that's the death experience.
Exactly. So it will be right for you until you decide that you are greater in frequency.
That's right.
And connect to your oversoul, when that will not be part of your reality, because your oversoul and your frequency does not allow those limits anymore or fear to get in the way of where you need to go.
It so basically overrides all reality.
Exactly. Right. And he said to me that the reason that what is happening on this planet, remember, this is a 16-year-old. And what he said to me was this, that what's happening on this planet now is we are separating into different frequencies, and the higher frequencies and the lower frequencies. And he said, and when you get to those higher frequencies, the fear frequency, which has held this planet in a prison for so many millennia and what have you, he said, they cannot control those higher frequencies. They can't do anything about it. That's why they don't want you to get past them. They want to hold you in the fear prison. So as soon as you don't buy it anymore, you are no longer controlled.
Barry's
hard. It isn't rocket science.
Yeah.
It just means that you refuse to allow yourself to be within that mindset anymore, that you're breaking out of that, but you've got to be aware of your thinking, what you focus on. It goes back to the integrity of love. It goes back to the understanding that we are all part of a consciousness. And when you're thinking of those, when those higher frequencies, all the other stuff doesn't matter anymore because of how you think. So I wanted to expand on that because I think it's really important.
No, thank you. That was very valid, Mary. Thank you for doing that.
And also with that too, you know, the more of us that do come into that awareness and do hold that energy, it's, you know, that's going to sort of, the more numbers that we get, the more that's going to ripple out and affect more people. So it's really important that everyone takes that responsibility.
But that's something I'll send you, Zeech, if you haven't seen it. Giles, if I remember correctly, sent me this video. There's this dude called Crow, I think it's 777. I think it's C-R-R-O-W. And this dude's got some awesome equipment to film even the satellites or crafts going over the moon. Like, he shows the difference.
Okay.
There's this latest video, or a few of them, they actually were predicting the time, and other people in the world are filming the same stuff, and I think they're working together. I haven't got too much in it. But there's like this friggin' wave go over the moon. They predicted when it was going to happen. And I'm wondering, from my experience, I've seen what I would call a blueprint of reality, depending on what you call reality. And I've seen the other universes, and it was like a blueprint of how everything's a hologram. I'm wondering if this is like a glitch, or it's just something that naturally occurs in the 3D realm to see part of this hologram. Have you ever heard anything? Because this is why I was bringing up Kelly and the Raw. I haven't watched what she said, but when I see this in a week and then I see the Crow stuff about this sort of holographic moon theory, I'm just wondering anyone else's take on this or if they've ever seen that. If not, I'll send you the link after the show.
Barry, have you got anything to say on that?
Well, I've seen it. I've seen that Crow Sevens things also. And, you know, I think that not that the entire moon is holographic, but I think there may be a holographic technology there to prevent us from seeing what's actually there.
All right, yeah. That's fair enough.
And what I want to say, too, is I agree with what you said, Mary. And what we're dealing with is intent, how we can intend ourselves on the love frequency past this net, past this trap. And I know along with this trap comes a great deal of auto-suggestion. I think we're wiped clean a little bit for a cent here, but there are ways past this. We have guardian angels here with us. We have others that are helping. We don't know what we are. We're capable of, as they told me, the warp fields of our mind can create so much that we can go definitely past that net. And the first step is being aware of it and aware that there is a type of auto-suggestion and subliminal erasing that can happen if we're not careful. But I think we can definitely get past that. Concerning the moon, I think there's a holographic technology on there to stop us seeing what's there. I would say that, but I think it's also hollow, as NASA has been suspicion of. I think they're testing that still, aren't they? The hollow moon thing.
I've always talked about what NASA's own data produced, and Richard C. Hoagland said this, and it can be found in the NASA archives, apparently, where when they landed on the moon, like everyone knows, it sort of rang, like reverberated like a bell for over an hour. when they put enough seismographs on the moon, 1,000 miles down underneath the surface, basically near the core, they can see geometric arc-shaped objects, which is within itself. And also when they did a core sample using those rods that they hid in the surface of the moon, a few like inches or whatever down, it showed that the moon had been exposed to a completely different star, a different solar system than what's on top. So basically that is evidence to show how the hell can a little bit down be exposed to a completely different star if it wasn't brought in from somewhere else. That's yeah. Evidence. So basically the top bit of the moon, the moon dust and all that, when it was studied, it had been exposed to our sun. But once you go down under a bit more, it wasn't exposed to our sun. What was it exposed to?
You know, here we go back again to a book that I was gravitated towards at a very young age, right just before the Ringmakers book. It was called, this is long before Richard Hoagland's work ever came out. Mm-hmm. It was called Somebody Else is on the Moon.
Yes.
And it's very hard to find that book now. But there were, yeah. So I seem to remember there being two moons here, and one of them being brought here. Ancient African knowledge says there were once two moons here. One was brought from somewhere else, and one was destroyed. I seem to have a memory of that too. So make of that what you will.
That is interesting. In saying that, recently, Barry, you sort of knew that I was getting psychically attacked, and there's been lots of stuff going on with people at the moment. I think the blood moon, with the energy cycles that we're going through, I think with the esoteric knowledge that some have, you can use it for or against, whatever you want. But in saying that, incorporating what we're talking about, and Mary said it greatly, going into basically you go to the higher vibrations and nothing can touch you. I'd like to sort of wrap up this show with sort of everyone's sort of tips or tools or thoughts on how we can surpass anything of a what we perceive as a negative vibration or psychic sort of stuff, because there seems to be a lot going on at the moment in terms of I'm seeing posts from other experiences, I'm, you know, experiencing stuff, soul is, and it's almost like, yes, everything's intensified, but so too has like the connection, I guess, to our own selves, but also some of the not so good things that we perceive, you know, with psychic attacks and that sort of thing. Could we sort of just quickly wrap this up in terms of, and doesn't, you know, we can talk for a few more minutes or whatever, but just wrap this up with what sort of tips and tools people have got to empower themselves, I guess.
Barry, you going to go first?
Oh, go ahead, Mary. I'd like to yield to you.
Well, you know what? I think the most important thing is that we have control of what we focus on. We have control of whether we choose to look at the light or we choose to look at the dark. We can see our life as half, you know, as a cup half full or half empty. And you know what? I always reckon the optimists have a better time of it than the pessimists. Personally, I reckon that that's the case. So for me, I don't think all these amazing children being born now have chosen to be born for a waste of time. And I've said this so many times. So I believe, no matter how difficult it is to get to that point of harmony again, with all these amazing children that I believe are coming to help us, you know, create a world and a planet that is what we all would rather be part of in terms of our physical existence. And you know what? It's often the darkest before the dawn, and we're having a lot of things at the moment coming and highlighting the corruption, highlighting what's not right on this planet on so many levels. It's all being exposed. And we have to sort of sweep the floors first before we can start, you know, rebuilding. But you know what? We've all, I believe, undertaken to come here at this crucial time because we've said, yeah, I'm in for it because it's going to be worth it. So all I can say is that don't grumble because you chose to come here. So suck it up because it's going to be worth it at the end of the day. So I hope that makes some sense to people.
Well, I think that was directed at me. I know you don't know that, but that was directed at me. It's like, get over it, Pete. Suck it up. Because I get sick of this shit sometimes, but that's another story anyway. But Barry, What would you like to say, just to wrap things up, in terms of, because you were talking before about what, you know, sort of things people can do to empower themselves at the moment and that sort of thing, and I'd like to wrap it up on that note. And thank you, Mary, for saying that.
You know, I think there's two things. One, I agree with definitely remaining positive. And I think we've got several different timelines we're dealing with. But I think as humanity, we have to really learn how to reach out. We've got residential, we've got not just guardian angels, we have angels that are here for Earth. They're Earth angels. They've always been here as far as I know. And we need to reach out and learn where the medium ground to meet these beings is. These beings that are existing just beyond corporeal mortal vision, all right? And what I'm seeing is like different schools, spiritual schools where humans are only basically custodians and students, and the teachers are non-corporeal entities, all right? And I think that's where we need to go now. Something else I want to address, okay, and it's, I don't know how to deal with this because I'm not religious, all right? I have an aversion to organized religions, almost all of them, to be quite honest. The beings that I've dealt with and what they told me when I asked, after the love hit me first, and I say, who are you? And sometimes they even telepathically tell me, we can't really tell you what we are any more than you can tell us what you are, but we can tell you who we work for and what we do. And I want to say this in a non-religious fashion, because they explained to me it went beyond religion. They gave me three terms. All these beings I've dealt with said the same thing. The Christ consciousness, the Christ energy, and I even was told the office of the Christ. And for me, that immediately goes to organized religion, which I despise. And they start telling me, this is beyond social organized religion. This is beyond that. It's beyond any one person. This is a love frequency of the Creator, of Source. Okay, so I had to accept that. And not to mention, I wasn't being hurt. But I think that that is a frequency of Source that is accessible by us through our intent, through our free will. We can adjust our free will to that frequency. And that is not just our protection. That is our intention and a way to get through some of this darkness and not to be such enslaved on this prison planet, if that's what this is. It doesn't have to be that anymore. And I think that's the shift. It's not going to be a prison planet here so much. These maniacs who just incarnate here again and again like we do and go murdering about people, and we're lucky if they even get caught by our society, and then they'll incarnate again. I think that's coming to an end. Does that answer that?
Yeah, it does. And look, from, you know, did you read the Book of Shiji at all, Barry, that I sent you?
Yeah, I checked a lot of it out. And I noticed you went into that a little bit. And I had to accept that, the Christ consciousness thing, because I keep thinking, well, no, it's not going to be this Christianity thing. I'm not going into that. But it wasn't that. It was beyond that. That's why I wanted to kind of make that different than religion and say that this definitely is a spiritual thing I'm speaking of.
And I think it's
real. I've seen it.
Yeah, definitely. And I've experienced it too. But I think I think it's still a human labeling it Christ consciousness. I think it's a level of consciousness where at that state, which we are all able to obtain, and I believe a facet of us is connected to continuously all time, though time's an illusion. But going through that through thought and intention, and this is how I see the crafts. I don't call them up. There's people that claim to call them up and whatnot. I put the intent out. And with my intent, I've experienced some crazy stuff that I've initiated through intent with those. It's basically like I type to you or Mary, hey, you're free for a chat. Now, you're free or you're not free. You can do what you can't. This is exactly with the beings. I put out the typing in my mind going, hey, dudes, do you want to catch up? Whatever's in line with me. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can't. You know, this is where you'll get the different things. So this is where it's about the intent, and this is what I would like to say to people is, at the moment, look at your thoughts. And I've had an experience lately where I was shown other lives that I'm living at the same time on Earth, which are, you know how you hear about, and Dolores talks about it, where you could make a decision, but in another reality, you didn't make that decision. You had the option to go this way, but you went that way. So both, basically, the two outcomes exist. I was shown these other realities, and through that I was shown, be careful what you think, because it creates reality. And I'll show the other realities I've created that coexist at the same time. Again, though, time's an illusion within this holographic realm here. So I'd like to tell people, be careful what you think, and that don't look outside of yourself for answers. Look in the mirror. That's where you can get answers. It's yourself. You don't need anyone else. What you will find is that others, like Barry and Mary and Solar, to me, they're my guides. But I'm guides to them as well. I'm a guide. We're all each other's guides. And those that are in line with you, you will attract. So things are getting tough. But like Mary says, it's like the storm before, you know, the sunny day. And I think as a collective, I think individually we've gone through this and some are still going through it. But I think as a collective, we're now going through this. And I believe I've talked about it with others that I've had on the show recently, and I won't say their name, but it's basically 2015, 16, 17. These changes are happening, but I don't. Either some people can incorporate these changes or they can't. There is no right or wrong way for which avenue you go down. You go where you're ready for and what you've got to experience, and we're doing this as a collective. So I think, like Mary said before, and I think it was directed at me on a subconscious level, I've got to suck up this crap just as much as anyone else and just get on with it, because like you were saying, Mary, you know, it's hard to believe that we've all chosen to be here at this time to just have a write-off experience in terms of just pain and fear and negativity. So would you like to add on or just talk about that as well?
Well, I guess I'll just bring like my own personal perspective, which can, you know, some others might be able to relate to out there. For me, if I'm feeling more in tune and aligned with my own stuff, whether it's, you know, if I'm feeling like mentally it's all a bit too much and I can just get out and go walk it out, you know, whatever I can do to bring my mind back to feeling at a calmer perspective and to feel like my energies are sort of aligning and getting lighter again, whether it's through, you know, eating more like high vibrational food and more fruit and veggies, things like that, that are going to keep my energy clearer. Because I feel like the cleaner and clearer I can keep my energy, the easier it is to cope with all the other bombardment of stuff going on, whether it be like psychic attacks or, you know, military type stuff. And even just because a lot of the time I won't sleep because I'll have beings come and talk to me while I'm trying to sleep and things like that. And I have to just, if I can keep some things in control and in alignment, you know, in the physical, it tends to help with dealing with all of the other gamut of stuff.
Cool.
Well, can I just say there real quick?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, one thing I'll say, I just gave a speech recently to my state, the Brain Injury Association, and what they wanted to know about was my near-death experience. It was interesting that all these doctors wanted to hear that. But, you know, one thing I can say about that is what I came back here knowing is that how much we underestimate the impact our relationships have with each other. We underestimate it a lot. And I thought I was a pretty spiritual guy and I was always trying to exercise the golden rule and do unto others like you'd like to be done. But even honestly, I still wasn't getting it. How important and how much impact our relationships have with each other. And you carry that to the other side with you by all means. So just want to throw that out there.
Thank you for doing so. I think that's very important, and thank you for sharing that. And you know, everyone here has brought something to the plate in what they're doing and continue to do. Mary, you've got another book coming out. What do you reckon, later this year or next year will be coming out?
If I didn't get so many emails, I'd have had it written by now. So, I'm doing my best. I'm waiting for another couple of clones. Mary 1 and Mary 2, and one of them can do the book.
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I can barely do it myself. Barry, you're actually working on a book right now, your first book as well, aren't you?
Yes. I've been inspired to do it. And let me say, I'm a big fan of yours, Mary. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything you do. I have been for years, so it's a pleasure to get to talk to you.
And a pleasure to talk with you, Barry, as well. I always learn so much when I have a chance to share like this, so thank you so much.
It's just awesome, everyone connecting up. And Sol, both Sol and I, we've got Paracon coming up next month, but besides that, we've got some stuff going on in Bali and everywhere else, but yeah. It seems like everyone's got something going on constantly. Have you got any talks coming up soon, Mary, anywhere, or is it a little bit of a break for a while?
I'm speaking at the Nexus International Conference in July. where we're hoping that Dr. Edgar Mitchell will come in on my presentation because he's part of the new organization, Free, which, as you know, I'm a co-director. So we're going to talk about what Free does, but also about everyone that's ready to start coming out and speaking about their experiences in this Experience a Liberation Day. So that's all coming up, and I'm very, very excited about that.
No, that's fantastic. Barry, have you got anything coming up soon at all? You're going to be on Kelly's show soon, aren't you?
Yeah. She's having me on the 16th, I do believe.
Ah, so I think I'm the day before you.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Cool. That's...
Get the energy nice and ready for me, soul, so I can come in easy and get out of it easy.
And one thing I'd like to wrap up is just everyone keep a camera on you at the moment and keep connected and put the thought out, because, like, I had Damien Nod on a couple of shows back, and Damien has got an organisation, APPI, I think it is, or AAPI, I can't remember exactly, and the amount of reports they're getting, not just in Australia, but worldwide at the moment, is crazy. Sol and myself, we're getting more daytime sightings than ever, and lots is going on. So just be aware of your thoughts. Put the intent out if you haven't seen anything and you know, you want to see something. It's happening more and more as the veils between the worlds and everything's breaking down. So everyone keep your eyes to the skies and watch your thoughts. You know, there's always something going on, but... Mary, thank you for all you do. It's, you know, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and people can actually go and see the documentary we did for you lately, At Home with Mary Rodwell, which has been getting awesome reviews. For more on Barry, people can hook up with him on Facebook, and they can see some of the shows I've done with Barry also in the past. And for more on Sol, they can go to... your website, which is Solrita.
Or on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yep.
And Mary's got acern.com.au as well. So there's lots, but underneath this video on the description part, people can go there and find the links to us. And thank you everyone again for coming on for the 100th show. And it's an absolute privilege and pleasure to have you all.
Thank you,
Peter and Sol and Barry. Wonderful to speak with you this afternoon. Thank you so much for sharing your world and this wonderful mission we're all on, just to help with this, sorting this planet out.
No, thank you, Mary. Thank you.
I just want to say thanks to Pete too, and congratulations on your 100th show.
Thanks, Dale.
Yeah. And nice to see you both.
Well done.
Very cool. Good job.
Thank you. Love you all, and thank you all for watching and listening. Bye-bye.
Yep. Okay. Oh.